Actually, can we maybe just stand, turn around a bit, relax a bit? Because I think, I've been too much sitting around, we need to have a little stretch, and then you can sit down when you want. And let's just pray. Let's just pray as we come before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your amazing word. We thank you for who you are, that you are such a good, good God. And we just pray, Lord, as we're looking forward, Lord, that you would just keep growing us as a church, Lord, that no building will put a limitation on what we're doing. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just bless us with good weather on Sundays so that we can enjoy Beach Church together and see your church growing and your kingdom expanding. And we just pray today, Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our minds so that we can receive your word. Lord, that your word would transform us. We say, come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, just move in this place now. Touch our lives, transform our lives. And Lord, that may we just be able to just know you more intimately and just be able to reach out with your amazing love and transforming power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's take our seats. So, Jen has started us off on a mini series looking at this whole area of As for Me and My House from Joshua 24. And she was meant to be just doing one talk. And then I looked at the amount she had put together and I was like, that's actually probably about three or four talks. So we've adjusted it. Jen is going to be finishing off probably, hopefully next week once we work out our venue. So please be praying for the venue. But I'm wanting to dive in. And I'm going to use a little bit of what she'd prepared, but take it in a slightly different direction and look at this whole area. As a church, we've been looking this year at how we can invest in our household. Both the household of our personal lives, of our own family life, but also the household of God, the household which is the church. And Joshua 24, if we read that first 14 and 15, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I want to just unpack this and just delve into this as to look at how we can develop a kingdom culture, a culture where Jesus is on the throne and reigning, both within our own homes and within the church as our spiritual home. So, to begin with, do you know that there is an enemy of God? As soon as you start out in the Christian life, you suddenly discover that there is actually an enemy. If you haven't, then I'd actually question whether you've really started out on the Christian life. As you take that step out, suddenly you get assailed with so much rubbish, so much stuff that you're like, whoa. And to be honest, I've multiple times tried to put people off becoming a Christian because it's so hard. And people say, oh, becoming a Christian is for lightweights. It's like, no, it isn't. It's heavyweights who become Christian because they're entering into a battlefield, they're entering into a spiritual war. And it's tough. And Satan and his demons do not want you or your children, your household, or even your children, your church, your spiritual family, to be united and fulfill the purposes of God. Do you know that? Guess what? The lies will start coming in. Guess what? People that you thought you actually liked when you first arrive at the church start getting on your nerves. Anybody found that? Okay, don't put your hand up. The enemy wants to tear down our families, to tear down and rip apart our spiritual family. And yes, I've learned that sometimes the enemy will take a direct route, but often the enemy slips in quietly, disguised through the small little lies, the little offenses, the fears, the insecurities and shame. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be alert. It doesn't say just, you know, drift around. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Have a mind that is actually, you know, focused and alert to what the enemy's going to try. And this is what I'm going to delve into today, is how we can be alert in our household. Okay? If you watch Lions Hunt, they try to divide, to separate the young, the wounded, and the isolated. The young, those who have just taken that first step with Jesus, to try and snatch away the seed. The wounded, who are they? Those who get offended. Those who are hurt, strangely enough, by other Christians. And the isolated. Guess what? When you take offense, you isolate yourself. You're easy prey for the enemy. Amen? Has anybody been in this position before? Maybe. And do you know that that is the same in our families? Not just in the church family, but in our physical family. And we don't realize that children can end up bound with fears and shame, with lies which have grown, where they're unable to be open and free to chat, even with their own parents, because of shame. Because of little lies that have crept in over time. But are we protecting our families from this? Are we fighting for our families for this, church? Both in our own families, but also the church family. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The enemy is a thief. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal the peace that you had. He wants to do the same for your children. But Jesus came so that we could have life and life in its full. He came so that our children can have life and life in the full. Amen. After living in Africa, I've had some people ask me before, you know, if demons are more present and active in Africa than the UK. Okay. The truth is, no, they're not. Demons know where they can control through fear. And if they can control through fear, they will become visible. And when I was in Africa, strangely enough, they became more visible because they could control through fear, the unknown. They become visible and blatant. But in the UK, if people don't believe in demons, guess what? Great for the demons. They can get away with it. They can control through comfort and seduction, and they won't be visible. They will not attack lukewarm Christians who are no threat. If you feel under attack, praise God. You've started to become a threat to the enemy. Do you feel like that at times? No, you think, oh! It's like, no. You have become a threat. There's a quote that I've used a number of times. I think it's a C.T. Studd one. And it says something like, you know, basically, on the day that I die, hell itself will have a party, because I'm out of the race. I'm out of the fight. And the thing is, are we living in the way where we are actually a threat to the enemy? A.W. Tozer says, "May God deliver us from easygoing, smooth, comfortable Christianity that never lets the truth get hold of us." May God deliver us from easygoing, smooth, comfortable Christianity that never lets the truth get hold of us. Has the truth got hold of you? Has Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, got hold of your heart? If not, take that step today. We are at war against the enemy for our families, against the enemy for our church family. Sometimes it's blatant. Quite often it's not. But we need to learn to fight. There is an old story, and it says, one evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil, which is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good, which is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Romans 8:13, and this is from the Amplified. It's quite good, this. And it says, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever." Yeah. Wow. Galatians 6:8 says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So do we want to sow into our family and in the church the things which please the flesh or the things that please the Spirit of God? What are we sowing into? Because what we sow into is what we are feeding. And that is what will have the win the battle. Not only that, but that is also what we actually start to hunger after. Guess what? Anybody opened up a big packet of chocolate? Anybody had the packet of chocolate on the shelf? It's okay on the shelf, isn't it? It's tempting, but it's okay on the shelf. Open up the packet and you say, I'll just have one little piece. You have the one little piece. Is it as easy to just simply put it back on the shelf as it was before? Your taste buds have been, you've enjoyed it. And strangely enough, your desire for that chocolate has now increased. You've tasted of it. You're now starting to hunger for it more. And that's the same spiritually. We looked at Joshua, Joshua 24, verse 23. It says, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to God, the God of Israel. Throw away the foreign gods. We heard last week that the gods or idols are things that get in the way of us living all out for God. The things that just get in the way. And we said there's gods of heritage. And we read that that's beyond the Euphrates. Those are the gods of heritage. Values or beliefs passed down from our families. Whether good or bad, but getting in the way of us fulfilling our God-given purpose. Gods of upbringing are the gods of Egypt. There were the Israelites lived in Egypt. They were brought up there. They were surrounded by that. So that's what we have learned and experienced as we have grown up. So not just the values from our parents, but now our experience in our upbringing can become a god. If you've lived in a family where money has been the dominating factor, guess what? That can become a god. Or maybe it is, what you do on a Sunday, you go for a walk or whatever it is, that becomes a god. And you feel it's hard to maybe even get to church because you have to fulfill this thing that has all happened, the tradition. And then you've got the gods of culture. So the gods of the Amorites, so the people of Israel were going to be moving into the promised land where the Amorites were. So that is them moving into what then is in their surroundings, the gods of the current culture. That's what the world around us is currently saying to us that we should be believing and doing. That gets in the way of us living all out for God. Can we see any of these foreign gods limiting us from living God's way and putting him first? And then it says, throw away the foreign gods among you and yield your hearts to the Lord. It's a heart matter. Okay? The heart is the heart of the issue. God does not call us to live by a rule book. He wants us to yield our hearts to him. God loves us. He wants our whole hearts. He wants it to be a heart response, not a rule book response. Psalm 119:32 says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Wow. See that? People think, you're not free if you're following the commands of God. But no, you are free. Your heart becomes free when you start following the commands of God. John 14, verse 15 in the NIV says, if you love me, this is Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commands. And the word for love there is the word agape. It's not just a nicey love. This is a self-sacrificial love, where it's an all-out everything love. That's the love that Jesus had dying on the cross for us. And he's saying, if you love me, if you agapos me, if you agape me, you will keep my commands. And there it says in the NIV, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. And you think, okay, I've got to demonstrate I love him by his commands. No. In the Greek, it's actually saying, if you love me, you will keep my commands. It's from the heart place of love that our desire becomes to fulfill his commands. See the difference? The Passion Translation, which I much prefer to call the Passion Paraphrase, puts it this way, which is quite good. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I get that's the real sense of it. It starts from a place of love. If we sacrificially love God more than anything else, if he is seated on the throne of our lives, then that love will enable us to live his way. Not as a set of rules, because we love him now. And he has the best for us. Do you believe God has the best for you? It's his Holy Spirit, his living word, which speaks to us directly and through the Bible. If we start struggling in any area with obeying his commands, our response shouldn't be to try harder to follow the rules, but to spend more time falling in love with him. And out of that place, it'll become easier. You see the difference? I think that's a specific word actually for some people here right now today. That you know God is calling you to do something, or that you are struggling in an area of sin and you have been facing it like a rule book. That I have to do this because God is saying I have to do this. And you have been struggling and struggling and struggling. And I believe God is saying to you right now, right today, stop struggling and start spending time with me. When you start spending time with me and falling more in love with me, then these things will actually change. See that? And I believe that somebody, especially today, saying that. Amen. We need to allow the Bible and the leading of his Spirit to filter what we allow into our homes and into the church, going back to the foreign gods. We need, and the thing is we don't need to hide ourselves away from or ignore current culture. Jesus' approach to sin was not cancel culture. Okay? That wasn't his approach. Just get into a bubble. So the culture, believe it doesn't exist and live in your own world. That wasn't Jesus' way. Jesus lived in the world, but was not of the world. He was an ambassador into the world. He took the Spirit into the world, and that then transformed and changed the world around him, rather than the world around him changing him. And that's how we need to live, church. Do we do the same? That Jesus lovingly but firmly challenged behavior and thoughts that were contrary to God's will, but he did that from a place of being with people. God with us. Emmanuel. Do we train ourselves and our children to think critically and not to blindly accept the gods of this age? And yes, the levels depends on the age of the child, if we have children. But it's also levels dependent upon young believers as well. You know, if somebody has been struggling in an area of sin, then for them to be fully exposed in that area may not be suitable until they become stronger in who they are in God before they're stepping back into that type of world. What are we allowing to influence our children's thinking? Is their worldview based on the values they've picked up from school or through watching TV, playing video games or browsing the internet? Or do they have a biblical worldview? Are we training them in God's ways? Are we helping them to think critically and to challenge the gods of this age with the word of God? Rather than saying to our children, don't do that, do we actually open up the Bible and say, let's see what the Bible says? Why don't you read it? Okay, how does that help you in life? How does that help you in this situation? Do you think it's right to do that or not, based on God's word? Rather than just simply saying, don't do it. And this is where we need. If something doesn't sit right with our spirit, do we check it out for ourselves and also with our kids by looking at what the Bible says? Okay. So Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Are we a gatekeeper? Both in our families, but also for each other and as a church, of what or who is influencing our family. You know, there's I don't know how old it is, but there's a little song. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. You know, it says, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. We have a responsibility to safeguard our holiness, both ours and our families. And this isn't just talking to people who've got kids. This is us helping each other as the family of God. You know, there's a verse, I've not got it on here at all, and it's Job 31:1. And it says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to lust after women or to lust after whatever. I made a covenant with my eyes. I did that as a young teenage boy. It helped me well. And the challenge is are we making those covenants to promise to God of, help me that these eyes are yours. I don't want to look at things that are not honouring of you. If something is wrong, we need to stop it and get rid of it. We need to create a kingdom culture at home. We need to be ruthless in getting rid of things that cause us to sin. I remember one time I went into my room, and it was years back, and I just looked and I just like, actually, my DVDs, back in the old days rather than Netflix, sorry, my DVDs, right, actually, all of those ones, get rid of. It's not that there was anything particularly wrong, but the morals within them were not good morals for the way I wanted to lead my life. It's not like they were, like, you know, 18s or anything like that, no. They just did not sit right in, actually, it's going to be building me up in my identity as a child of God. Question to you, what are you letting in through your eyes? What are you watching on TV or Netflix or whatever? What are you letting in? Could you sit with Jesus and watch it and say, yeah, this is honoring you, Jesus? Good question. That's just one area. Okay? If we're reading something or watching or anything like that, is it right to do it? What about our children? What books are they picking up at the library? What are they reading at school? Yes, there's limits, but what are we allowing to influence our children? What are they hearing? What's been embedded in their lives, and is it honoring God? It may not be intrinsically bad, but sometimes some things can sap our energy and our time. So if we're struggling to invest our time and energy in our relationship with God, what's getting in the way? What may need to be addressed so we can pursue God and have Him and invest our time and energy in Him to increase our love of Him? And that will then change us. God calls us to be life-speaking. That's one of our values as a church, to be a life-speaking church. Not just what's coming in, but what's going out. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew 24:34 says, for the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. What's coming out? Is it godly? Is it building up? Or is it gossip? Is it tearing down? What's coming out of our children's mouths? Likewise, if that's coming out of the children's mouths, what's coming in through the eyes and the ears and the heart? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's invest in our children. Amen. So it all comes back to that heart condition of what we're sowing to the flesh or to the spirit. Which one are we feeding? So how do we feed the spirit? We need to prioritize spending time with God. Simple. Yeah. Now you try and do it. And I can guess your phone will call. There'll be a phone call. There'll be somebody calling around. Something will happen. As soon as you try and start prioritizing time with God, there'll be something that'll try and get in the way. We need to prioritize it. We need to turn that phone off, turn the internet off, whatever it takes, just to prioritize the time with God. Praying, reading the Bible, worshiping, both individually and as families. When was the last time you had a worship time with your family? With your kids, with your grandkids, with your niece, with your nephew? When was the last time you had a worship time with them? When was the last time you had a prayer time? When did you last have a time of just listening with God and saying, let's just rest with God and see what He has to say for us. Let's just catch from Him what He has for each one of us. It's exciting, church, when we start doing this. And it builds our families up. And this isn't for us to be torn down as they were unto me. No, it's to envision us. It's to say, let's do this, church. Let's work together. If you're struggling in this, well, let's work together. Selena and Becky have been doing a great course, a Parenting by Faith course, and done this online, and it's been fantastic to help us to understand how we can do this together. And we've been sharing and bouncing things off each other and saying, yeah, that works. That didn't work for us. And we worked this one out, and it's been fantastic. And let's invest in each other. If you're struggling to have a time with God, why not meet up with a friend who you know is meeting with God and say, can you help me? Can I get alongside you and do it with you? See how you do it. This is how we work together. If you know to somebody who you think, actually, I think they're struggling in this, why not offer to meet up with them? To pray. I can remember I met up with a guy and he was struggling to get some breakthrough with God. And I said, right, I'm just going to come round. And we got together. And I said, well, I'm just going to engage with God. Why don't you just come alongside and join me? So I just let rip in tongues and just went for it and just engaged with God. And I looked over and this guy was just like looking at me. And I said, what are you doing? And I said, just join in. By the end of it, he was completely going for it. And he just, afterwards, he was just in tears and just God was touching him. But that's what it takes, is getting with each other and helping each other. Okay? Spur each other on. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. Love each other. It's all the one another's, isn't it, as found in the Bible. What has God shown you through his amazing word recently? If you don't know, maybe you need to spend time with somebody else, enjoying him, building each other up. Let's start fighting spiritually for each other together. Today, are you ready to take that stand, that active stand of saying no more to feeding the flesh, to allowing other influences to come in to my life or into the life of my family, whether that be personal family or the family of the church? No more complacency, no more comfort and lukewarmness. Today is the day to make the stand, to say yes to feeding the Spirit. Because as for me and my household, the household of my personal family, and the household of Waypoint Church, we will serve the Lord. Amen.